with his pockets empty and thirst raging, hoping for a friend to pass by and invite him inside, or merest for a drink or two. It was Dublin, Ireland, 1884. He'd been drinking 15 years, maybe more. Spend his wages, pawn his clothing or his shoes, just enough to buy another drink or two. Matt was home before noon that day, sober. Told his mum my drinking days are over. Confessed before a priest, then took the pledge, and in those first days doubted that he could keep his word.
Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnson.
And welcome to Saints and Sinners. This is the first edition of our new show. And, of course, in this new hour, hear it in His sign. If you've listened the last couple days, starting at 4 o'clock and even prior to then, we've been announcing that starting this week, In His sign will now be broadcasting from 4 to 6 p.m. So thrilled to be here today and all the Wednesdays coming up. And I hope to be joined by Father McKay on all those Wednesdays. And Father's with us now. How you doing, Father?
Good, Ken. How about yourself?
All right, pal. Good. So it's been about a month now, a little over a month, since Kathleen approached us and asked us if we'd be willing to take this hour. And we talked early on about what the show would be about. And I've had the benefit of being with Father Doug now for going on, I guess 8 years now, almost 9 years. And, you know, with the work we do with in the recovery field for those that are addicted and, the times that we spend together and always talking about the saints and the role models that our church holds up for us. And we thought it'd be a great opportunity in this hour each Wednesday to talk about the saints that we might be celebrating each week in Mass or in the Breviary, and maybe point out some of the more obscure ones that we've come to learn about, and in the end help all of us to go from sinners to saints, and that's what we're all called to be. Especially since Vatican II and the universal call to holiness for all of us. So as Catholics, each and every one of us is called to be a saint, and Father Doug and I hope to be here each Wednesday to help each other and to help our listeners along that path to sainthood. Father and I were talking earlier this week about the format of the show and what have you, and I think first and foremost we wanted to put our show under the patronage of our Blessed Mother. Maybe you want to talk about that for a second, Father.
Sure, Ken. I think Mary, she's so filled with God. She's the queen of saints and sinners. She's the highest saint of all. I was thinking of G.K. Chesterton. He said that when Jesus climbed up on the lap of his mother when he was little and looked into the eyes of his mother, Mary, and Mary looked into the eyes of her son, it was God looking at God. I mean, how profound is that, that Mary is filled with God, and she's our model. That's how we're called to be filled with the utter fullness of God, as St. Paul tells us in the Epistle of the Ephesians. But before we even dot another I across the T, let's place this whole radio program here under the patronage of Mother Mary, the Queen of Saints and Sinners. I thought we'd lead in with the Golden Hail Mary, but there's a humorous story with a little girl, and she goes to confession, and she comes out, and she goes up to the statue of the Blessed Mother to do her penance, and she starts to sob and cry. And the nun comes over to her and says, what's the matter? What did Father say to you in the confessional? She said, well, Father gave me three Hail Marys to pray. And Sister said, well, what's the matter with that? She said, I only know one. So that Golden Hail Mary, we all know that one, and we'll pray that Golden Hail Mary and place our radio program, Saints and Sinners, under the patronage of Mother Mary, Queen of Saints and Sinners. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse
to thee,
especially the enemies of the church and those recommended to you.
Mother Mary, we come before you in this debut of our radio program, and we place it under your patronage. As St. Louis de Montfort said, you are the way to the way, and we're on this narrow path, and sometimes we fall off it onto the broad way, just to continue to pull us back into that narrow path, that we may follow you to the way, into the glory, into the kingdom, to be glorified and to become the saints of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Mother Mary, assist us, pray for us, guide us into sanctity and sainthood. And Father, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, in union with your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the confirmations I think we got early on, Father, that this was meant to be, was soon after I had mentioned to a few of my friends and in my prayer group that we were going to have this show. A check arrived in the mail, so it just to let you know that there's an anonymous donor that actually paid for our first 4 hours here on the radio, which is just awesome. As Kathleen's been saying, leading up to this week, that we're taking on this extra hour, and there is an expense involved. So I just want to thank that good friend who happened to send us a check and paying for our first four shows. We want to remember Mark and his special intentions during the course of the show, and with all those prayer warriors that we have out there, if you would just add Mark and his special intentions to your list, that would be that would just be awesome. Also, want to let everybody know that we have a Facebook page that we set up. It's called Saints and Sinners on In His Sign. If you come out and like us on Facebook, we'll provide regular updates on what we're going to talk about. Maybe appearances where Father Doug and I can be found, and you know, be a way for us to interact with you, our listeners. In addition to the podcast that we may be able to put on the website, we'll also have the shows that each one's recorded, and we'll make them available online as well through that Facebook page. So go out to Facebook and like us. I'm also in talking to Kathleen that the In His Sign website's in the process of being remade, and I'm sure there'll be links to our show and other such topics once that's rolled out. So, again, it's just great to be here. It's hard to believe this day's come, huh, Father? We've been
really
thinking about it, and, you know,
it's all divine orchestra, you can. I'm just thinking of Mark, too. I mean, that great donation. But it really comes from our Heavenly Father through Mark. because like St. Francis of Assisi said that everything I have received on loan. I always like to say that we have a trust fund in the Bank of Divine Providence. So thank you, God, and thank you too, Mark.
Yeah, yeah. So just by way of background, I know, you know, I've been doing Fridays now, that hour of prayer for quite a while now. So I think most of our regular listeners might have a little bit of my background on how I've got to where I got. And, you know, for those that may be tuning in for the first time, may have liked us on Facebook and not heard the shows early on that Kathleen and I did when we were talking about Calyx. Father and I thought we'd start by letting you know how we got on this path and how God's put it on our hearts to actually want a desire to be a saint. And I can tell you that that's not something that was in my conscience. It may have been on my heart, because I believe that God puts it on all of our hearts. It may have been on my heart, but it wasn't in my conscience for quite a while. I was born and raised, Catholic, went through 12 years of Catholic school, was a pretty good kid, and somewhere along the line, the world took priority as opposed to God, and it led to a lot of alcohol, some drugs, and lack or loss of faith. Stopped going to church for the most part. Would still go with family once in a while on the, you know, C&E, Christmas and Easter. But probably spent the better part of 12 years wandering around in a fog. And it was almost 25 years ago. The end of this year, it'll be 25 years since that miraculous moment on December 30th, 1991, when in a drunken stupor or a drunken blackout, for some reason that night, didn't walk home, but walked to a guy's house that I knew, and he introduced me to recovery. He introduced me to the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and really from that moment, or actually it was the next morning, because I actually got up the next morning and didn't remember that encounter the night before, and was reminded about it when he told me he was going to come pick me up that night, which happened to be New Year's Eve. And it was really that first meeting that I was given the grace to realize what I was doing, and through other people came to realize that I didn't have to continue to live the way that I was. And it was shortly after that I started back to church. I had two kids at the time, and things just seemed to fall in place. You know, in hindsight, when we're going through things, we're going through trials and tribulations in life, we don't always see God real time, if you will, and recognize the things that he's doing in our lives at the moment. But when we look back over time, I can look back and I can see all those points in time where God inserted himself in my life, whether it was directly or through other people. And it was mostly through other people to get me onto the path where I am today. And, you know, it started with a retreat at Malvern, which really set me on fire for my faith, which led me to the Militia Immaculata consecration. You know, we have a new host that's here on Monday afternoons from 4 to 5, and Brian Gale, who's just a giant in the Militia Immaculata movement with his knowledge of Maximilian Kolbe and that whole movement. And I found out about that long before I met Brian a few years ago. And, you know, it was through that consecration, and like you were saying, Father, that, you know, the Blessed Mother, I consecrated myself to her. And in doing that, she continued to lead me further on in my faith, where I got more involved in the parish and ended up in the Church Ministry Institute, which was a wonderful program for folks in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia that are involved in their parishes and in different ministries to gather and learn more about our faith. And then it was through the Church Ministry Institute that I came to be aware of Calyx, which is how Father Doug and I got together back in February of 2008. It was, I was looking to do something for Catholics that were in recovery as a direct result of my conversion, and it was set out to do my my own program for Catholics that were in recovery when I stumbled upon this Calyx Society, which had been around since 1947. And through the grace of God and some help of some good friends on this journey, we started that Calyx unit in my home parish in St. Luke's in Glenside back in 2007. It expanded to Grace Furry in 2008 at St. Gabriel's Parish there, and then eventually to Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media in 2009. And just in the last 6 months or so, we have a new unit in Queen of the Universe Parish there in Levittown. But it was really through that Calyx Society and that I was introduced to Father Doug. He got in touch with me regarding Calyx. And ever since that Tuesday night in February 2008, we've been getting together almost every Tuesday, helping whoever enlists our help in various ways, mostly through the sacraments, especially Mass and Adoration, Confession, and then through those Calyx meetings that we have down there on Grace Ferry on Tuesday nights. And, you know, like I said, the last thing that was on my mind back in those days was ever to be a saint. And, you know, now I know today that God has not only placed that on my heart, but he's placed it on everybody's heart. You know, my brothers and sisters that are out there and may be confused or not sure or not certain about the meaning in life. And I can tell you that the absolute meaning is for all of us to become saints. And God puts that on our heart at birth and really kicks it into gear at our baptism and then through the other sacraments. So, though I want to be a saint, I know I'm far, far from it. I say it all the time. All you have to do is ask my beautiful wife, Susan, and she'll let you know how much of a saint I'm not. But the key, I think, is to try, right, Father? And that when we try,
yeah.
God recognizes that we're trying and will give us all the grace we need in order to keep moving forward.
Okay. It's the bounce that counts. Keep getting up. Yep.
Yep. And Father, you didn't always want to be a saint either, did you?
No. I think I always wanted to be a priest, though. I don't know about a saint.
Yeah.
But now I do, and I'm sort of like an apprentice saint, you know. I remember when I was baptized Douglas, and the sisters always gave me a tough time in school, too. You know, they would say, yeah, you couldn't have been baptized Douglas. There's no Saint Douglas. I said, not yet. You know, but like everything, can you waver, you know?
Mm.
You fall down, you get up, you fall down, you get up. Maybe I'll just give my introduction now.
Yep.
Actually, Grace Ferry, St. Gabriel's is my home parish where I grew up. And my first stirrings of priesthood was Monsignor Keogh, John Keogh. Monsignor John Keogh was the president of the Catholic Total Abstinence Union of America. You know, and he worked with alcoholics way back when. And can you remember, you know, when we went to St. Charles Seminary to the archives and digging out all the information we could on Monsignor Keogh, and we had come up with that letter about Bill Wilson, that used to come down here, one of the founders of AA, to learn about alcoholism. So Monsignor Keogh was one of the experts in alcoholism of the day, and he also was the president of the Catholic Advocate, which was really the Catholic paper for the Catholic Total Abstinence Union of America. But my first stirring was with Monsignor Keogh, you know, and it was a house visitation. I bet I was 3 or 4 years old. And I remember my mother, you know, getting the house ready and people calling on the phone. He's at such and such a house and he'll be there soon. I said, who's coming? You know, I had no idea who this was coming. And then all of a sudden, Monsignor Keogh, he was Father Keogh at the time, walks into the house, you know, and I see this man in the black suit, and, you know, he talks to my mother, and I remember him patting me with these yellow cards, and then kneeling down for the blessing. And my mother taking my hand and blessing me, and Father leaving. And when he left, I knew there was a connection with the man in the black suit and the man hanging on the crucifix. And that was a stirring for me. And later on, you know, when I was with my grandmother in St. Anthony's Church, I was mesmerized at the Mass, you know, and I'm cutting all this really short. But after that, I remember writing a letter to the Blessed Mother asking her if she would ask her son if I could be a priest. And it was all there, you know, and eighth grade came along and I wanted to be a priest again. And then kind of when I took the test for Bishop Newman High School, I got a 17, which out of 100%. And I said, God would never want me. I'm too dumb to be a priest. I drifted through high school, and that, you know, that letter to Mary never went away. Her voice that I heard when I was young, you know, someday you will be a priest, haunted me all the way. And, you know, after high school, hanging in the bars and hearing that call the third time, you know, someday you will be a priest. And I couldn't sleep or eat. I had to do something. Went to the rectory, talked to Father Hank McKee. He told me that St. Charles wouldn't take me, neither would any other seminary, that I would have to do high school all over again, which I did at Lincoln Prep. And I repeated all the years. And then I went to Salesians at St. John Bosco for 1 year. And then I went to St. Charles for 7. I was ordained in 1982. And always, you know, back to Grace Ferry on my days off, walking the streets, going into the bars, giving out scapulars, miraculous medals, talking to people. I couldn't walk so many feet with somebody intercepting me, you know, just wanting to talk. And as a priest, wanting a blessing and even a confession there on the streets. And I remember saying, boy, I wish I had like just a house that I can sit down, something close to the church where I can point to the church and say, that's where you have to go. And our first house across from the church opened up at 1439 South 29th Street, called that the Mother House and the Lifeboat, you know, that we would bring people in and steer them over to the ship to St. Gabriel's. But we were doing, you know, prayer meetings with recovering people and having Mass. I started Mass in the morning at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. It was about 15 recovering people, and they started to find jobs. So after that, it was like, you know, we prayed ourselves out of the Mass because they found work, and then I made the Mass at night, and they would come back at night. And then from 15, they were out the door. We had to expand. So we bought the house next door, and we had a bigger chapel. And then we had the funeral director, Bill Shea, had retired, and kind of pressed upon us about taking over, you know, the properties, which we weren't so willing, but he gave us such a good deal. He said he would hold the mortgage, and we have a 30-year mortgage, so there's not a whole lot of pressure. I think it's only like $500-some a month. But anyway, we kept expanding. We had a restaurant. We had a recovering home, and at this point, we have a recovering home for men. We tried one for women, and that didn't succeed so well, but down the road, we hope to pick that up again. We have a recovering center at the ARC, the abandoned school that we took, and where we have our Calyx meetings, where Monsignor Keogh actually built the building in 1948. And it's like the torch was passed, you know, here I am, the first priest I meet, and also the first person I touched who was dead, you know, fourth grade. We would walk in, and I remember touching him and a chill going through me, not making the connection that I would pick up his torch and continue his work. And I say all this, you know, it's not me or Father Keogh. It's God's hand guiding us all, because we can't do anything without him. Our Lord assures us that. He's divine and we're the branch, and apart from him we can do nothing. So the ministry continues to grow. And you know, when we're doing the prayer meetings and the Mass is when I heard about Calyx. I said, this is what we're doing. And at that time, you and Amy had just, I think, passed out pamphlets or packets to all the pastors. And that's how I got in touch with you. I called you, told you about the plight that we have down here. You came down that Tuesday and never left. So the work continues. You know, it's challenging work. It's difficult. Many trials. And you know, but the Lord is smack dab in the midst of it all. You know, the suffering Christ, it's a Calvary. And, you know, I don't know if I could do this work without holy hours in the morning and at night, you know. I don't have a television. I don't want a television. I want the tabernacle to be my television and my remote, the rosary, where I can change the mystery channels. But it's that contemplation, you know, where you come and touch God, you let God do it, and you put the onus on the Lord, because we can't do any of this. It's just way beyond us, you know. But with the Lord, we can do all things, you know, who strengthens us. You know, when I'm weak, I'm strong, because the power of Christ rests upon us. You know, and I just feel so privileged being a priest and being here, even though there's a lot of crosses and difficulties, but there's a lot of spiritual delights in the interior life and in that inner life with Jesus, where you find that great inner peace and joy and that felt love of the Lord. And that's what makes us saints. There's no other way to be a saint. We can do all the works we want. If we're not coming to that deep prayer, you know, because we can do so much in an ascetical life, you know, penance and prayer and almsgiving and fasting, you know, but in the end, we have to just sit and be still and let God burn it out. And like Sister Bridget McKenna with the tabernacle, you know, I often think about this. She says, go before the tabernacle. It's like divine radiation therapy that burns out all those capital sins in us and all that junk that shouldn't be in that in us, and transforms us into the image and likeness of God, to be like Jesus, you know, to participate in divine life, to become God by participation, like John of the Cross says, and so many other the saints, you know. That is the wonder of wonders, that we are to be divinized and be immortal like the angels and live forever in heaven, in paradise, as God's eternal family. So that's pretty much my introduction there, Ken.
Yeah, and it, as you're saying it, Father, you know, I think about my early years in this conversion, and you know, when God set me on fire, and I thought that I had that there was something that I had to do, that there was something that Ken had to accomplish in order to grow along this path. And I think I bought every book I could find. One of the things Sue always gets upset about, I had these bookcases full of all these great spiritual books. I never opened one of them, but I collected them all, with the idea that, you know, I would read about this writing or that writing, and I knew that if I got that writing and I found the right paragraph in that book, that it would have all the answers. It would answer this yearning that I had within me. And I was always a doer, especially once I got into recovery, you know, whether it was taking meetings to prisons, going to rehabs and that kind of stuff, just going to meetings, but helping people in general. So I was always a doer. And, you know, it would come in spurts and there was some consolation, but there wasn't it wasn't, well, I knew that there was more, I guess is the way to put it. I knew that there was something more to it. And, right. You know, it was after meeting you and continuing on this path that I come to realize that I can work as hard as I want. I could work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to accomplish this, and it would never work. You know, it's in those quiet times when we let God act on us. And sometimes sometimes you feel something, and a lot of time I know there's a lot of holy hours I made where I came away from it wondering, you know, why I was there. And we don't always perceive what's going on, but again, in hindsight, when we look back, we can see that God was working on us. So our good friend Frank's tapping on the glass, Father. We're going to take a little break.
Okay.
Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to talk about the saints.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. he can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. This is Ken Johnston in the studio and joined by Father Doug McKay from his residence down there at Our House Ministries in Grays Ferry. And we spent the better part of the first half of the show giving you a little background on who we are. And, you know, our hope each week is to talk about the saints and sanctity and how we as Catholics and Christians can grow closer to God and grow in sanctity with the ultimate hope of, you know, spending eternity with our God. And, you know, as Catholics, we have these saints, and our church canonizes these saints and more or less confirms for us that these are the men and women who led exemplary lives and are currently in heaven with God. But as Catholics, all of us are called to be saints. Everybody in heaven is a saint. It's just the church canonizes some. But there's far more saints in heaven that aren't canonized than are. So our goal in the coming weeks will be to talk about some of these saints and the examples that they've set. As for Father Doug and I, as Kathleen has done for many years, Father Doug and I are also available to come out and speak in parishes, days of recollection or retreats that the parish may be putting on. If you're looking for speakers, we ask you to get in touch with us through it in his sign here. I'd be more than happy to try and work that into our schedules if it's something that would interest you. We also thank all of our listeners who continue to support In His Sign, and we ask you to continue to do so, especially now that we've incorporated this second hour each day, which brings along with it some additional expense. So anything you can do to continue to help is just awesome. If you're not currently in that circle of family and friends who donate on a regular basis, we certainly invite you. It's easy enough to do. You go out to our website, inhissign.com, and click on that donate button, and you can either make a one-time donation or sign up for a monthly donation as well. And again, all of those that that help us here are always remembered in our thoughts and prayers as we go on. So, Father, I thought in the second half, I think I told you last night about St. Conrad, who the Franciscans will celebrate tomorrow, but there's not a really a major saint, I don't think, this week that the church celebrates. So maybe if we spent some time just talking about saints in general and maybe start with, yeah, why does the church canonize saints?
Well, I think to give us an example, Ken, you know, how to live. Saints, to me, the word exegetes, so the scriptures, you know, it's a big word, but they're the explainers. They clarify the Word of God. We'd be lost without them, you know, how they just take the Word of God, marry it, and we see them doing it, and they're not to be admired, they're to be imitated. But there was something you said, a couple things you said that I wanted to respond to, that St. Therese, Little Flower, said the greatest saints in heaven are not the canonized ones, but the hidden ones, because that's what our Lord is always asking us in the gospel, to be hidden, like our Heavenly Father is hidden, and that God is a hidden God, and that to find him, we need to be hidden in our hearts, and there's the contemplation. And something that you were saying, Ken, about, you know, you knew there was something else besides doing, you know. We're always doing, you know. We're human beings, not human doings. And that we really need to surrender to God, you know. And that's where we find our merit, is in our surrender. To give God permission to come into our hearts and really transform them with his graces. You know, it's who we are, and it's just to be. You know, that's where we find our worth. You know, when we start doing, that's when we get all kinds of problems and difficulties. We're sinners, you know, then we see ourselves as undeserving. But by the virtue of our creation, in the very image and likeness of God, that makes us worthy of the Lord, you know. And it's like coming to that point of our worthiness within our hearts and seeing the beauty that God has made us. You know, God doesn't make junk. We make the junk, you know, but God's the junk collector. You know, he collects us all up. But, you know, if I don't feel myself worthy, how do I go near our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ? You know, I just stay away. But if I see there's something deep in me that was worthwhile for Jesus Christ to die for, you know, then that gives me real hope that I want to come and run into the arms of our Heavenly Father. And it's Jesus, I go between the hearts of Jesus and Mary to get there by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know. But that's where the sanctity is, as you said, that you know, there's something more than doing, and it's really in that receiving. That's where we find our real sanctity, in receiving. I'm just reading The Soul of the Apostolate by, Jean Chutard, and he was saying the wonder of wonders is really our transformation, where we actually become God by participation. But it made me think about, well, if that's the wonder of wonders, what's the wonder in our world? And the wonder in our world is the incarnate Word. It's in the tabernacle and all the tabernacles of the world, that God becomes incarnate, he becomes human, so that we can become divine and live forever, you know. And that's where we find really who we are and how precious we are to our Heavenly Father to send his Son to die such a horrific death for us. We have to be, you know, something special. I don't know any father who would send his Son to die for a pack of animals, but a father would send his Son to die for his other children. And God the Father's love for each and every one of us is as great as the love that he has for his Son. And the love that Jesus has for his Father is just as great as the same love that he has for us. Once we say love is unconditional, it's just poured out on us. And to come to that love and to experience that felt love, that's what melts away all of our egos, you know, edging God out. My ego is not my amigo. That self-centeredness, you know, self-righteousness, you know, and that's what humbles us the most. And to come before God, one has to be little, very little, you know, and that's what the saints, they knew what to do and they knew how to do it.
Right.
They just opened their hearts and received the Lord, who embraced them and transformed them into his very image. And then like St. Paul, I no longer live I, but Christ lives in me.
Right. So I also wanted to mention, you know, this. Father and I are maybe having a discussion during the course of the show each week. We certainly invite our listeners to call in with questions or comments, join in the conversation. And the number is the same as it always is for the shows here at In His Sign. It would be 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. Again, it's 610-527-2906. I'd also remind you that if you have trouble picking us up over the AM dial, over the airwaves, you can always listen to us online at www.inhissign.com. And more recently, if you're using a smartphone, there's a pretty good app out there called TuneIn Radio. You can pick up just about any radio station in the world, I think, but 800 AM WTMR comes through loud and clear through that app. So if you're in the car or even at home and having trouble getting a clear signal sometimes and have a smartphone, you might want to try to download that TuneIn Radio app. We don't get any benefit from recommending it, just a service we're providing so that you can tune in. So we hope in either today or in the coming weeks that you'll think about picking up the phone and join us in this conversation as we talk about saints and becoming saints.
I was just thinking too, Ken, you know, how ascetical saints were, how really active they were in picking up their cross and following Jesus in self-denial, you know, in renouncing the world, that is worldliness, and doing all that work. It's like chopping the wood, you know, for the burning bush to come. So, you know, I'm not just saying we just go And I think that was one of the complaints about centering prayer. Well, all I have to do is sit before God, and He does it all. It's almost like a quietism, you know, heresy. But that we do our part, and God can't wait to come in and do His part. Pretty much what Teresa Avila's seven mansions, the first three mansions are the active, part of our lives, the things that we do with grace. But the last four mansions is what grace does with us, you know, and it's in that surrender, you know, so you need both. But there was a story I was thinking of, Ken. His name was Fritz Kreisler. He was one of the best violinists in the world. And he gave a concert, and it was so beautiful that it sounded like angels were singing off the bow of his violin. And after the concert, a woman came by and said, "Fritz, I would give my life to play the violin like you." And Fritz said, "Madam, I gave my life to play the violin like me." And it's the same with the saints, you know. We kind of get envy of them. Well, I wish I could be like that, or a saint like that, or have that peace that Mother Teresa of Calcutta has, and, you know, or John Paul II, that radiance, you know. I would give my life, but the truth is they gave their lives to be like that. And we need to give our life to the one who gives us his life. And he makes us holy and perfect, like he is holy and perfect. Fritz Kreisler, always remember that story and say, yeah, you know. You look at musicians, they spend 18 hours a day, you know, playing their instruments, the practice, you know. Look at athletes, how often all the things that they deprive themselves of, you know, how hard they work, you know, to receive an accolade or a wreath that's going to wither in time, as St. Paul says. But we, a wreath that will never wither, you know, when the Lord comes with that unfading crown of glory, you know, to place on us, you know, and all that glory, and you know, it'll be all worth it at that point. But I look at saints. I met John Paul too. You know, I was the cross bearer when he came to Philadelphia in 79, and served the mass, washed his hands, carried his bags, laid out his vestments, spoke to him, shook his hand a few times, even played a little game with him. But the first time I saw him, You know, I was going down to get his bags off him and lay out the vestments. There was a radiance there, you know. And when he looked in my eyes, it was like God looking at me, you know, to the depth of my soul, you know. And when I looked at him, it was like looking at God, you know, because it was that divine presence, you know. And that's what we're all called to. Like you said, we're all called to be saints. And contemplation is what brings us in there. We have to let God, in the end, do it. After we do our part, then God has to do his part. And he can't wait to do his part once we do our part. You know, it is asceticism. It's that self-denial, picking up our cross and following Jesus. And he's going somewhere. He's bringing us into glory. He's bringing us up Mount Zion, not Mount Mayan. He's bringing us up in his kingdom, not my kingdom, you know, to the glory of the Father. And you know, it's just to follow the Lord and listen to him. Do what he tells us, and it will be glory time, not Miller time.
There you go. And it's, you know, I think in some of the shows, I really want to explore some of the saints that were not religious. I think there can be a tendency for us lay people to look at, you know, guys like you and the nuns maybe that we had in school and say, oh, sure, it's easier for them to be saints. They don't have families. They don't have to go out to work for a living. You know, they got the time to pray and to be holy. We, you know, the rest of us got to, you know, struggle along to take care of our families and what have you. You know, how can we be saints? And I know it's balance. And again, it goes back to that time factor and how much time we give to our families, how much time we give to God, how much time we give to work. And everybody I talk to when they get on the spiritual path, almost to a person, will talk about the problem of balance and trying to balance their time so that they really give God the time that he needs to work on them, and at the same time, you know, give time to our spouses and our kids, now our grandkids, to give time to work. Because we need, unfortunately, we need the money to, you know, keep a roof over our head and food on the table, clothes on our back. So I think that that was one of the things that was so awesome about John Paul II, is he recognized that. And as a result, that he canonized many lay saints, men and women that were married. Again, as you stated as we started the second half of the show, that to hold up to us as examples and to show that men and women who were either in the vocation of marriage or a vocation of the single life, but living in the world, if you will, can still be saints. And I know just our discussions that we have all the time in and out of the confessional, it's, that constant struggle to find the time to, and it's really, it's about priorities, right? Setting our priorities straight so that we take care of ourselves, not just physically, but spiritually.
Yeah, that was just, you made me think about Venerable Matt Talbot, in that famous line that he would look at the people and says, if I can do it, you can do it, by the grace of God. It's always by the grace of God. And I know, as a priest, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of pressures and trials, a lot of challenges. I get calls, you're like a member of so many families, and that's why I need that quiet time and that grace time where I'm, fill up that reservoir of grace and let that cup overflow to the people that I minister to, But we look at, the grass always looks greener on the other side, but, God has us exactly where he wants us, each and every one of us. Like St. Francis de Sales, the devout life, wherever he has us, that's where we're to grow in our sanctity. And I would wake up in the morning, I said, Lord, make me holy. I want to be a saint today. And then I would run into people, your greatest joy and your greatest sorrows are people, and you get snubs and, people don't want to, we have our enemies here, and it hurts, and then I would complain to the Lord and he would look at me and said, didn't you just tell me this morning you wanted to be a saint? I said, yes. He said, well, these are my instruments, I'm chiseling away your pride, your anger, all these things. And I said, okay, Lord, then thank you for them, but get it out, and do whatever you have to do, but get all this junk out of me. How long, oh Lord, how long? And John on the cross, he used to use the word, with the nuns in the convent, and it's very difficult even in community and that all those difficulties that community life has. And he would say, it's Jesus there with a chisel, that he's chiseling down, the hearts and making them pure, to be his pure brides, But John of the Cross, another line he has, and I love his line where he says, O souls called to these grandeurs, what are you doing and how are you spending your time? What are we doing? How are we spending our time? Mm-hmm. I want to be holy. I want to do what God does. And then I go out, I overeat, mm-hmm. I oversleep. I'm watching television, which I know that offends the Lord. What am I doing? How am I spending my time? Right. And we really have to take the gospel seriously. And live it, and the Lord will reveal himself. He says that in John 14. Whoever holds my word, who obeys me, the Father and I will make our abode within, and I will reveal myself. That revelation, is the big meltdown. When he reveals that love, it's all worth it. That peace that's beyond telling, the joy beyond this world. No drug, no sexual encounter, no food, nothing of this life can even come near that. Once you experience that, you would die a thousand deaths. You would pick up the crosses. You deal with all the hardships of daily living, And but it's all grace. The little flower says that it's all grace, and we need to go for that grace and fill up that reservoir, St. Bernard and Clairvaux, I was misquoting him for a while. I think I mentioned this to you, Ken, a few days ago. But I used to always say, before we become channels of God's grace, we must become reservoirs. But I just read something that was more accurate, and it was saying that Berners said that we must become reservoirs and not channels. Channels will dry up, he said, but reservoirs fill up and they overflow. And we need to keep that cup filled up, overflowing to the people around us, that we don't become a dry well, that we constantly go to the well and fill that well up and let our cup overflow to the brothers and sisters that we minister to, that we serve for the Lord, that we bring the Lord to, because we can't do it without grace, and it's all grace. But yeah, what are we doing?
Right.
It's a story. I love. Go ahead, Ken.
No, I was just going to say, you're talking about the grace, and I know you've said it many times during our Calyx gatherings. You know that people would say, why aren't there more saints? And the answer is always right, that the remarkable resistance to grace. And it's so true. I mean, God gives us every opportunity, and he gives us all the grace we need to grow in the spiritual life. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking of St. Augustine, right, when he was, give me chastity, but not yet, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
You know, it's that tug of war. You know, it's like we know we're called. We have that innate voice that's in us that's calling us to be saints, and yet we pull the other way so often. And like you're saying, because we think that it, you know, something in this world, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever it is going to give us that joy. And sometimes it does, but it's that fleeting joy, that fleeting happiness that doesn't last.
Yeah, it's not joy. It's pleasure.
Right,
it's simple
exactly.
pleasure that passes.
Right.
Joy is always found in the Lord. You know, I always think of that. Like Augustine said, where do we find joy? In the Lord. Our Blessed Mother's Magnificat. You know, my spirit rejoices in the Lord, my Savior. St. Paul, rejoice in the Lord. I say it again. So joy is in Jesus. It's in a person. It's not in anything, but it's in God himself. And that's the real definition of joy. The rest is pleasures, you know, that pass rather quickly.
Mm.
Yeah, but we find our joy. It's a happiness is an inside job, you know, coming into the kingdom, to that place, that home, you know, where God resides within our hearts. We come from the head to the heart, the longest distance, as they say, you know, and to get away from our thinking, you know, to get away from our distractions, our worldliness, and just sit and be still, just like that flower before the sun, and receive, you know, the Lord himself. And that joy, you know, would be felt and be profound, and that graces, you know, will help us to overflow. And then the greatest gift that I can give to my family, the greatest gift that you can give to Sue and your children, Ken, is to become a saint, you know. And that's the greatest gift we can give to the church, to give to anyone, you know, to become holy like our Heavenly Father, because they're happy souls, you know. They're selfless, they're giving, self-giving, you know, loving, patient, kind, you know. And that's the number I want to be in. The only parade I want to be in is when the saints come marching in.
Yeah. And you know, while we're talking about it, the issue that we find, too, and we've talked about this as well many times, is that when we're not on the path, the evil one just kind of sits back and watches. And when we get on this path and we try to draw closer to God and we think we're doing the right things, that it's then that, you know, the evil one all of a sudden perks up, you know, old Scratch.
That's right.
And,
what's that saying? If the devil's not bothering you, he got you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I think it's fair to warn people that as they grow, it's not something to fear, and it's not something to worry about. But, you know, it does. It crops up. I know, you know, going back to when we first started to get together, and, you know, sometimes it meant a little bit more time out of the house, and now with the, you know, this additional hour each week, and sometimes the initial reaction would be that, you know, there's another hour of being away from the family, or, you know, having to adjust my work schedule in the office, you know, my full-time job in order to do this. And it can, you know, old Slick can come along and say, you know, you're sacrificing other things to do this. You know, God doesn't want you to do this. And we have to just be aware. And no matter what God asks us to do, he'll never, ever, ever ask us to do anything without giving us the grace ahead of time to do it. And you know, and that's one of the beauties of being able to talk to other people that are doing this. If we try to do it alone and we don't have other people to bounce things off of and talk about the troubles and the struggles and the tribulations and trials that are coming, it can be almost too much to overcome. But because we know that it's coming and we can see it coming, that a lot of times we can just wave the old slick and say, you know, bring it on. And not that I want to tempt them, but knowing that if this is something that God really wants us to do, that he'll provide all the means to do it. You know, Kathleen and I, in conversations about this extra hour, you know, if God really wanted in his sign to be on an extra hour every day, he'll provide the means for it. When we went to Ireland last year, if God really wanted you and I to go to Ireland and learn more about Matt Tablet, he would clear any of those hurdles that might have been in front of us. And, you know, and what an awesome way to go. And I should mention that the music we had there at the beginning of the show is from a gentleman named Paul Lisney. He's got a great website and a bunch of free music about the Saints on his website. It's Lisney. So that music we had at the beginning of the show was actually Matt Talbot's life put to song. And it looks like we're getting close to winding up here, Father. We got a couple minutes left, but we'll be winding down again with some of Paul Lisney. And I'm sure at some point, probably in the June time frame, because that's when we celebrate the life of Matt Talbot, we'll talk about Matt Talbot and in between all these wonderful saints that our church holds up for us in order to give us examples to continue to grow in a spiritual life.
You're right. It's that trust element, you know, trusting the Lord and just letting him do it. And I always say, you know, myself too, Ken, another pressure this hour. I got enough pressures, you know, and even the homilies when you get up front. Will you do it again, God? Will you do it again? And he does once you give him permission, because it's not you. You know, when we're worried, it's no longer his work, it's my work. But when we trust in the Lord, there's an ease, you know, and I got to keep bringing myself back to that presence of the Lord, you know, and watching him. Let him take care of me, you know, and being aware of his care for me. And watching that, you know, and seeing him do it through me and through others, you know, that God is so present in our world because he loves us so much. He can't take his eyes off us. And then, you know, he's just always there, just as he promised until the end of the world, leading us into the glory with himself. Yeah. So I know it's coming close to the end, Ken.
Yeah, we're getting there, Father.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking maybe... I just end with this little story. You know, it was a story about they're in church, and sister says to the class, you know, who can tell me what a saint is? And a little girl raises her hand, and there's sunlight coming through, piercing the stained glass window of St. Peter. And the little girl says, well, a saint is someone God shines through. You know, a saint is someone God shines through. It's letting Jesus live again in his risen life, giving him permission to do that, you know. And it doesn't get any better than that, you know, to live in the glory of God in this life and forever in heaven. Oh, souls called to these grandeurs, what are you doing and how are you spending your time?
Thank you, Father. And just I mentioned earlier that... tomorrow is the feast for a Franciscan saint, Conrad of Parzam, P-R-Z-H-A-M. And in the breviary tomorrow, the prayer would be, Merciful God, through the service of Saint Conrad, you were pleased to open wide to the faithful the portal of your mercy. May we pursue a spirit of poverty and humility of heart in serving our brothers. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Forever and ever. Amen.
And Father, can we have your blessing? Let's have your blessing before we go.
Yes, and may God bless us all, and may God bless all of our listeners, and give them the hunger and the thirst to become saints, to follow Jesus the Lord into that place, into the glory of the kingdom. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks, Father.
Thanks, Ken.
And we'll see everybody next Wednesday with our next edition of Saints and Sinners. Until then, take care and God bless. Matt was home before noon.